Good morning. We would like to recognize our veterans this morning. If you have served in the military, would you please stand? Come on, don't be shy. Stand up. Okay, so after the service, when you're leaving, we have a little something for you. And our youth would like to address y'all.
To all the veterans out there, I want to thank you for your service and all the sacrifices you've made for this country to keep it free for everybody. We're grateful for your bravery and protecting our freedom and how we live. And I just want to thank you for everything you've done for this country.
Now will you please bow your heads in prayer for the hardships they faced, for the sacrifices they made, for their many contributions to America's victories over tyranny and oppression. We respect them, we thank them, we honor them, and we are proud of them. We pray, God, that you will watch over these special people and bless them with peace and happiness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
And now I would like to invite everyone in our congregation to come enjoy a hayride and weenie roast on Wednesday, November 19th from 6 to 8:30 p.m. Bring a friend, bring a neighbor, and don't forget to bring your lawn chair, because we don't have those here. It'll be fun. Just try to come if you can.
All right. We'd like to applaud our veterans. Thank you very much.
We begin our worship with our first hymn.
Thank you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Holy is the Lord, the Almighty. He is worthy of glory and honor and power. Worthy is Christ, the Lamb who was slain. By his blood he purchased for God Christ made of all of them a kingdom, and they shall reign on earth forever. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. I confess to God Almighty, before the whole company of heaven, and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have sinned in thought, word, and deed, by my fault, by my own fault, by my own grievous fault. Wherefore I pray, God Almighty, to have mercy on me, forgive me all my sins, and bring me to everlasting life. Amen. The mighty and merciful Lord grant you pardon, forgiveness, and the remission of all your sins.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty, eternal God, show mercy to your children who humbly pray, that we who have no confidence in our work may not be judged but tenderly received. Grant this, we pray, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from Exodus chapter 3. I begin reading at verse 1. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." Then he said, "Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." And he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, "I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard the cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now, behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" He said, "But I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." Then Moses said to God, "If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Say this to the people of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Say this to the people of Israel, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations.'" The word of the Lord.
Jesus Christ, your Son. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights.
Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts.
Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you shining stars.
Praise Him, you high heavens, and you waters above the heavens.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created.
And He established them forever and ever. He gave decree, and it shall not pass away.
Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all deeps. Mountains and hills, fruit trees and all cedars. Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted, His majesty above earth and heaven.
The second lesson comes today to us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to Him, we ask you, brothers, do not be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed either by a spirit or a spoken word or a letter seeming to be from us to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one deceive you in any way. For that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And you know what is restraining him now so that he may be revealed in his time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who knows restrains it will do so until he is out of the way. And when the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will kill with his breath of his mouth and bring to nothing by the appearance of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan, with all power and false signs and wonder, and with all wicked deception for those who are perishing, because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. Therefore, God sends them a strong delusion, so that they may believe what is false, in order that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. To this He called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by our spoken word or by our letter. Now may the Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 20th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
There came to him some Sadducees, those who deny that there is a resurrection. And they asked him a question, saying, Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, having a wife but no children, the man must take the widow and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first took a wife and died without children. And the second and the third took her, and likewise all seven left no children and died. Afterward, the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had her as wife. And Jesus said to them, The sons of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy to attain to that age and to the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage, for they cannot die anymore, because they are equal to angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. But that the dead are raised, even Moses showed in the passage about the bush, where he calls the Lord the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now he is not God of the dead, but of the living, for all live to him. Then some of the scribes answered, Teacher, you have spoken well, for they no longer dared to ask him any question. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Giving thanks, yes, and we give thanks to God
Yes. So what do you think some of the things we should be thankful for?
Friends.
We should be thankful for a lot of things that God has given us. And what's the best thing that God gave us? We wouldn't be here if we didn't have it. But what else? What did God give us? His Son. Did he give us his Son? Jesus. And why is that so important? He saved us from our sins. Yes. So, sometimes we have bad days. You just have really bad days. Maybe you broke your arm and you're just not feeling well. So it's really hard to be thankful all the time. But I'm giving all of us a job for the rest of this month, okay? I'm going to give you a calendar, and it's for November. And it's just got squares in it. So on every square during the month of November, I want you to write something you're thankful for. I didn't realize how little these squares were, so it's a lot smaller. But even if you're having a bad day, I want you to write something on here that you are thankful for that God has given you. Okay? Let's fold our hands and pray. Dear God, thank you for all of your amazing blessings and the work you do in our lives. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for your love. We love you, God. Thank you for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Okay, come get one. We need an extra one. Take two.
Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, keep our hearts in mind in Christ Jesus. Amen. So little five-year-old is coming out of Sunday school. His mother's waiting for him at the car. And he gets there and she says, "Okay, what did you learn today?" "Oh, I learned what God's name was." "Oh, really? And just what do you think God's name is?" And he said, "Andy." Mom looked confused. She said, "Okay, did you hear that from the Bible or the teachers?" And the boy said, "No, I learned it from a song that let me sang today." "Okay, maybe you better just tell me what Andy is." And the boy starts to say, "And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I'm his own." We'll get back in here in a minute. A couple of weeks ago, I gave you a true or false test, and I had a rigged question in it. It was about the earthquake at Post, and I rigged it by giving you a false intensity of that earthquake. Well, that's kind of what's going on in our gospel today. And before we get into the gospel too deep, let's maybe look at the background here to kind of give it some framework. The gospel takes place actually in the time frame of Holy Week. Previous to this, Jesus has come into the city of Jerusalem. The people have put the palms down and called him and said, "Hosanna," and called him king. Then, not too long after that, he goes into the temple and turns over the tables of the money changers. So if there wasn't any anger or hatred towards Jesus up to this point, and there was, now it has become serious. They've got to do something about this. All the leaders of the temple have got to do something about this. And so it's kind of like a book signing, or if you're going to see somebody famous, there's a lineup now of people that want to try to trick Jesus. Right before this gospel is the ones where the elders of the temple come and say, "Okay, who should we pay taxes to?" And of course, Jesus thwarts them by saying, "Pay to God what is God's, and pay to Caesar what is Caesar's." So next in line, the Sadducees in our text. The Sadducees' background. They are very much a very strict sect of the Jews. Matter of fact, they don't believe there's any other part of the Bible other than the Pentateuch, the first five books. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. As far as they're concerned, everything else is nothing. And they don't believe in the resurrection at all. So they're going, what can we do to get Jesus to treat him? We'll take one of the edicts from Moses about marriage from the Levites. And we'll throw that at him. And that edict is when a woman dies with no children, the brother takes care of the widow. But let's twist it a little bit. Let's see if he believes in heaven, and also let's add twists to it, kind of like my twist in my true or false question. Let's do it seven times. And then we'll throw the heaven at him. We got him against the law. We're throwing at him seven times to mix him up, and then we're going to come in and say, hey, there's no heaven. And of course, their question is, after these seven times, who's supposed to be responsible for the widow? Because there's seven people that supposedly are supposed to. The response that Jesus gives surprises them, because he uses our Old Testament lesson. He goes back and says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And when we get to heaven, there is no such thing. There's no more death. There's no more worries about this situation. Because we're all going to be like the angels and sons of God. And it's the way he shoots them down. It's that I am version of Moses using their own text against them that is interesting. One little word in there in particular, the action word. He doesn't say, I was the God of Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob. He doesn't say, I had been the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He says, I am. I am. I am now, I was then, and I am to be his God. And I am to be your God as well. And I will be your God here, now, and in heaven. It goes on further with Moses saying, well, I can't do this. You want me to go to Egypt to do this? And God says, I will be with you. You may not think you can do it. You may not think you have the talent to do it. You may not think you have the time to do it. You may not feel like you're capable of being lifted to that authority. But I will be with you. I am your God. Who do you want me to tell the people you are? Moses says, I am sent you. I am. So important to us as well to know that the God of Jacob, the God of Isaac, the God of Abraham, going all the way back that far, is still our God too. If the Sadducees would have gone a little further in the Bible, they would have seen the story of Job. And in that section is another one of those little sections that really kind of points to the resurrection that we probably sometimes overlook, is in that story of Job being desperate and taking everything away from him. In that, in chapter 19, verse 25, it says, I know that my Redeemer lives. Even in all of his hard times, he knows that he has a Redeemer that lives. If they would have been following Jesus around, they would have also seen him go to Lazarus' tomb, raise him from the dead, and then, with another one of those phrases, I am the resurrection and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. I am. It's a wonderful statement. It's a wonderful blessing. We talked about today we're doing giving thanks at the thank offering service, and we're giving thanks also for the wonderful service of our ladies. Thank you all very much for all that you're doing, and especially today leading the worship as well.
But we also are coming up on Thanksgiving, where we give thanks for all the blessings that God has given us. And that wonderful blessing that He is our God. The question is, what do we do with it now? He's claimed us, I am your God. The question is, what do we do with it? Do we hear the call like Abraham did when he says, I will be with you when there's a need? Do we live as people that have Him as our God? A young man was praying one night. He said, Lord, I just have a question. I wonder what heaven and hell are like. So in a dream, following that prayer, an angel comes to him and says, follow me. He takes him and he takes him down, and they go to the gates of hell. Now, before they even get in, they can hear that there's crying and a big commotion and everything going on. The angel throws the doors open, and if you have seen Harry Potter, you may not or you may have, you've got that great big huge hall with all those tables lined up straight down and people on every side of it and all the food in the middle. It looks like a gorgeous banquet. You want to get in there and eat. But the people are arguing. They're mad at each other. They're upset. They're crying. It's total chaos. And that's when the young man looks and sees that everybody sitting at the tables are sitting there with arms that have no elbows. And because they have no elbows, they can't get the food back to their mouth. And so everybody's upset. So then the angel closes the door. He says, now let's go. He takes them up to the gates of heaven. And it's a totally different scene. You hear joyous sounds. You hear laughter. You don't hear any arguing. You don't hear any crying. And he opens the door at the same scene. Tables with food all down the middle. People on either side of the table. But they're happy. The difference, they don't have elbows either. But they're feeding the people next to them and the people across the table. And those people are feeding them. What do we do as children of the I am your God? Do we reflect which of those two scenes? Do we reflect that wonderful gift with thanksgiving that we have of a Savior who says, I am going to be with you. I knew you before you were in the womb. I know the hairs on your head. I know you. I claim you, even though you're a sinner, and I claim you because my Son is the resurrection and the life. Because of His life, death, and resurrection. Not only do I claim you now, but I claim you for the future. But do we live as His children in the present? Do we live living out His kingdom here first? Do we hear His call? And do we say back to Him, here I am, send me. I am your child. Amen. We continue with our next hymn, Blessed Assurance.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story. This is my song.
Please rise as you're able. In Christ, you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We continue with the prayers. In the power of the Spirit, let us pray to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ on behalf of the church, the world, and all people according to their need. Heavenly Father, we stand in awe before your presence. You give liberty to captives, forgiveness to sinners, sight to the blind, and bring your truth through your word. May we always offer our continual praise to you, Lord, in your mercy. By the power of your Spirit, you share your wisdom and truth in your word. Keep us steadfast in faith, diligent in service, and joyful in hope. Give the church faithful pastors who are filled with your Holy Spirit, so that many may see Jesus as our Redeemer. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the people and the mission of this congregation. Keep our minds, hearts, lips, eyes, and hands focused on speaking and doing your will. Give us strength to lighten the loads of all who are facing the cares and sorrows of the world. Lord, in your mercy, guide, protect, and encourage our missionaries so that they do not grow weary in announcing the gospel of salvation throughout the world. Lord, in your mercy, wars, rumors of wars, persecution, and injustice face us in our time. May the world's leaders have their hearts turned to the peace, love, and care you have shown to all people. Also, help all of us to speak and act with compassion and kindness to all those around us. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the injured, sick, and dying, and all those who need to feel your presence in their lives. We pray also for first responders, those in the military who faithfully serve us daily. Today, we especially pray for Lynn Magura, Alberto Jimenez Jr., Elaine Molina, Catherine Glower, the family of Edgar Forrester, and the family of Lovell Blaine. Grant that the Lord Jesus Christ may provide them with healing and give them the joy of his saving help. Lord, in your mercy. Father, grant that we may bear witness to your steadfast mercy and announce your salvation to all. Grant us to have faith that our Redeemer lives and someday we shall see you in glory. There, healed from sin and sorrow, we may rejoice in your great love forever. Lord, in your mercy, in the power of the Holy Spirit, We entrust our prayers and petitions into your hands, gracious Father, for the sake of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We continue with the offering.
Let us pray. Wise and gracious God, receive the labor of our hands, these gifts of money, bread, and wine, along with the offering of our lives. Nourish us with the life of your Son, that we might be his body in the world, making known your abundant mercy in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. When the congregation last gathered together for the celebration of Holy Communion, we heard the wonderful story of God's mighty acts and the love shown to us in the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, with thanksgiving, we remember that in the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God come, for all things are now ready.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with spiritual food, the body and blood of Christ. All who come to you will not hunger. All who believe in you will not thirst. Empowered by this sacrament, send us back into the world to do the work you have given us to do, to share the gospel and to be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Amen.
To serve God with gladness. Be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. As you leave, you're invited to share the peace with the Lord with those around you. Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.